Well, this morning, I'm going to share a message with you. The title of it is called Beautifully Broken. And it's a message, actually, that is a long time coming, because we actually began looking at this when Debbie Colfer was here. The last time she was here, she mentioned this, and she didn't really expound on it, but she mentioned it, and really stuck with Shell and I. We were talking about it this week and last week, and I just couldn't escape it, so I thought, well, I'm going to have to share on it. And so I want to talk to you this morning about being beautifully broken. How many of you have been broken in your life? Okay. The thing is not to just say, I've been broken, it's to say, I'm beautifully broken. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, that we can move into that place of being beautifully broken. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61. This is the prophetic word concerning Jesus and the ministry, the anointing that was going to be upon his life in his earthly ministry. And how many of you know that anointing is still available? He's processed that into the church, and there's an anointing for us to walk in, an anointing for us to believe in. But this is a prophetic word concerning Jesus and the anointing that was going to be upon his life and ministry. So Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, everybody say because. How many of you know there's a purpose for the anointing? There's a reason for the anointing. There's a reason why God fills us with his Holy Spirit. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? You ever see the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's not just a badge to wear on your chest. There's a purpose. There's a reason for receiving the Holy Spirit in all his fullness in our lives. And it's the word because. Somebody say because. It says, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. That's a word that speaks forward to the salvation that Jesus was going to provide for us and accomplish for us. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You got to capture that. Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. How many of you ever have had a broken heart? Okay. And it says he came to do that specific thing. He came to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And then he goes on to say, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many of you ever had a spirit of heaviness come on you? God wants to cover you with a garment of praise. A garment of praise that covers it and overshadows it, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. When God does a work in your life, God is glorified in it. When Jesus saves your soul, it glorifies him. You see, it brings glory to the Father when he does a work in our hearts and in our lives. God is glorified. So let me ask you a question. How many of you are allowing God to be glorified in and through your life by the work you're allowing him to do in you? You see, when you submit and surrender yourself to him, it glorifies him because he can work in you and through you. And so we're talking about this being beautifully broken. Let me give you just another couple of scriptures. Psalm 147 and 3 says this. It says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near. He is near to those who have a broken heart. And he saves such as have a contrite spirit. God knows when people are hurting. And he's very near to those who come into places in their lives of brokenness. But I want to talk to you about being beautifully broken. Okay? The conversation my wife and I were talking about being beautifully broken has to do with the Japanese art of kintsugi. How many of you are familiar with the Japanese art of kintsugi? This is something we've been looking at. It's something Debbie Colfer mentioned when she was with us last time. And kintsugi is the art of repairing broken pottery. But it's an art. And something marvelous takes place with a broken pot, a broken ceramic dish, whatever it is, something that can be broken in that nature. And something incredibly beautiful takes place with that brokenness. And I want to parallel that to our lives today. How God takes the brokenness of our lives and He beautifies the brokenness. And that's what I want us to understand today. It's a powerful illustration of every believer's life because every one of us have been broken. Every one of us have experienced brokenness in our lives. It's a powerful illustration also of hope for every lost person because this kintsugi, the style or the art of kintsugi really speaks of brokenness, and so it speaks about every lost person because brokenness is a part of every life in some way. Brokenness is a part of every lives in many ways. How many of you have been broken more than once? Okay. We experience brokenness along life's journey. And it's a series of brokenness. It's a series of being broken through life. But it's also a series of God bringing repair and healing to our lives. And that's what brings Him glory. When He is allowed to operate in our lives. We deal with broken pencils and broken cars. How many of you know that? We deal with brokenness all the time. We deal with broken bones and broken promises. We deal with broken friendships and broken homes. We deal with broken hearts and broken lives. But we deal with brokenness all through life. And it comes in a lot of forms. It comes in a lot of fashions. But God wants to do something about it because brokenness is all around us and brokenness is in us. We carry brokenness so many times. Instead of bringing it to the Father, instead of bringing it to the cross and allowing God to do something in our lives, we often carry the pieces of our lives and we never have brought it to Him fully for Him to put it together, for Him to do the repair and the healing. Let me just go to the bottom line here, folks. Sin breaks every person born into this world. Sin breaks every person born into this world. And so do other things that are not necessarily the consequences of sin. Circumstances can bring brokenness into your life. It can be a circumstance that comes in. Sickness can cause brokenness in a person's life. They feel that brokenness. We call it sickness, and it is sickness. But it's an area of brokenness in a person's life. How many of you know testings and trials that God allows us to go through bring brokenness? That's what they do. They bring brokenness into our lives in areas that need to be broken. But the reality of this is simply that brokenness is a result of sin in the garden. We can trace it all the way back to sin in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, listen, folks, they broke what God had intended for us all. They broke it. How many of you ever said, when I get to heaven, I want to have a talk with Adam and Eve? Any of you ever said that? Maybe you didn't say it, but you thought it. Well, let me tell you, if we were in the garden, I don't know if we would have done any better. All I can say is that it began in the garden because their sin broke what God intended, and that was to have life and fellowship with Him. One of the beautiful passages in the Scripture is it talks about God walking through the garden in the cool of the day, desiring fellowship with His creation. Desiring fellowship with Adam and Eve, but they were hiding because of sin. It broke what God intended in the beginning. Now, here's the thing, folks. They were the prototype. Adam and Eve were the prototype for what God intended in this life. But they broke the prototype. They broke what God intended. And if the prototype is broken, then everything built according to that broken prototype becomes broken too. Why do we have these mass recalls on parts on automobiles? Why do we have these mass recalls on appliances and different things? The reason we have these mass recalls is because the prototype, the original, is malfunctioning or it was not built correctly. And so because the prototype or the original was broken, everything they built according to the broken prototype became broken too. And so they all have to be recalled so they can all be repaired. How many of you know God is still recalling humanity? He's recalling humanity through the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, you're broken, but I came to fix you. I came to heal you. I came to save you. I came to forgive you of your sins. We are still in the process. Humanity is still in the process of being recalled back to the Father. But we need to understand that that's brokenness. So all brokenness we see and experience in life today can be traced back to the garden. That's brokenness. Why is there sickness? There's sickness because of sin. Because sin originated it in the garden. Why is there suffering? There's suffering because of sin. Why is there poverty? When God provided everything in the garden, why is there poverty? Because of sin that broke the prototype. Why is there violence? Why is there death? You can go down the list and you can name all kinds of things that are corrupt in this world and sinful in this world. You can name all the brokenness in our world, and it traces itself back to the problem in the garden, the problem with sin. Now, there are a lot of ways to be broken. And the Bible is filled with stories of broken people that make up a broken world. How many of you know this world is still that way? It's still filled with broken people that make up a broken world. But here's some good news, folks. First of all, God sees broken people. God sees broken people. The second thing is that God heals broken people. But here's what I want you to hear this morning. God uses broken people. Not only does God see you, not only does God heal you, but then God uses you. And God uses broken people. And so we all qualify to be used of God, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, I qualify. If you've ever had brokenness in your life, you qualify to bring Him glory in your life. Because brokenness brings honor to Him when He's allowed to heal it and restore it, and it brings us a testimony. Here's the amazing thing about God's dealings with our brokenness, and it's this, folks. God doesn't throw away the broken pieces of our lives. You see, a lot of times we have this understanding in our mind that if I can just get rid of it, if I can just get it out of my life, it'll be different. God is saying, no, I want to take the broken pieces and fit them back into your life so they can bring me glory, so they can bring me honor, so that you can be a testimony to others of what I have done in your life, in your brokenness. When God allows you to be broken, when life breaks you, and you let God bring healing to your life and restoration into your life, that brokenness becomes a powerful testimony of what God has done in you. That's what's happening. God doesn't throw away the broken pieces. He gathers them up. He gathers them up, and He does something with them. Now, here's another thing I want you to hear. God deals with sin in our lives so that brokenness can be healed. Whenever a brokenness comes into our life because of sin, God deals with our brokenness. God doesn't throw away the broken pieces of our lives, but He does something with sin. He takes care of the sin issue. He repairs us, and He heals us, and He forgives us. Okay, let me give you just a list of 10 things the Bible talks about as far as what God does with sin. And folks, this ought to get you excited. Number one, He forgives our transgressions. How many are thankful for forgiveness? He forgives our transgressions. The Bible says He covers our sins. The Bible says He does not charge us with iniquity. How many of you are glad of that? He doesn't charge you with iniquity. It says He removes our sin from us. It says He washes away our guilt and He cleanses us from our sin. The Bible says He throws all our sin behind His back. Isaiah 38 says He throws them behind His back. He doesn't keep them in front of Him. The Bible says He sweeps away our transgressions. It says He remembers our sins no more. How many of you are thankful for that? How many of you are thankful that when you try to remind God of one of your sins, He says, what sin? When you've repented of it, when you've been cleansed of it, when God forgives you, He says, what sin? He does not remember your sins anymore. The Bible says He cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And it says He nailed our charges of sin to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. So God does deal with sin. He does deal with sin in our lives. And if sin is the consequence of our brokenness, then God deals with the sin so He can deal with our brokenness. But listen, folks, He redeems our broken pieces and He makes them part of our story. God takes the broken pieces of our lives and He makes them into our testimony. How many of you have a testimony here this morning? How many of you can testify of what God has done in your life? You can stand up right now and say, I got a testimony to share this morning. This is who I was, and this is what God did, and this is who I am now. That's a testimony. This is who I was before. But I want you to know all that brokenness, God forgave my sin and he healed my brokenness, and this is who I am today, and I am today because of what God did with me yesterday. That's what a testimony is. He builds a testimony. And let me tell you something, folks. The woman caught in adultery had a story to tell. She had a story to tell. She was caught in adultery. She was cast down before Jesus. And yet Jesus gave her a story of forgiveness. Jesus gave her a story of redemption. And so this woman who was caught in the act of adultery could now go around and tell people what Jesus did for her. That became her story. Blind Bartimaeus, how many of you know he had a story to tell? I'm telling you, he had a story to tell, folks. He heard that Jesus was passing by. And so he started to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, I mean, this is him, you know, he's testifying right now. And he's saying, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I heard that Jesus was passing by. So I started crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But the crowd was telling me to shut up. The crowd was telling me to be quiet. The crowd was trying to push me aside. But I cried even more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he says, well, in the middle of all that commotion, Jesus stopped. I saw him stop in the distance, and he turned and he called me to him. This is what the Bible says. One version says this, that he got up and ran to Jesus. Now, how does a blind person run? But it says, one version says he ran to Jesus. So he must have had somebody helping him and helping him run to Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, if you need him, you've got to run to him. You're broken, you need to go to the healer. You need to go to the one who can fix you. He's the one that made you. He's the one that created you. He's the one that can fix you. And so he's giving this testimony. I ran stumbling to Jesus. They were helping me. They were caring, but I ran to Jesus. And he healed me. And I can see today because he healed me. You see, we all have a testimony. There's people in the Bible that have these testimonies. How many of you know the leper had his testimony? I was filled with leprosy. I was cast outside of the camp. We talked about leprosy last Sunday. That ought to be fresh in your mind. How many of you know that leper had a testimony to share? How many of you know everywhere he went, he said, look at me, look at me, look at me. No more leprosy. Jesus healed me. My brokenness has been healed. That's what Jesus does for us. The woman at the well had a story to tell. I mean, this woman at the well had several husbands, and the one she was living with was not even her husband at the time. And Jesus brought exposure to her through the process of the conversation. And the Bible says she went back to her town, and she said, come and meet a man that's told me everything about me. I've got a story to tell. I met, could this be the one? A story to tell. Your brokenness has a story to tell. That's what we need to see. How many of you this morning are beautifully broken? Come on, how many of you are beautifully broken this morning? These people were beautifully broken. The paralytic had a story. Can you imagine the paralytic telling his story? Can I testify this morning of what Jesus did for me? I was a paralytic. I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. People had to do every single thing for me because I couldn't sit up. I couldn't stand up. I was bedridden. I was in my cot, and if somebody didn't do something for me, it wasn't going to get done. But we heard Jesus was in town. We heard Jesus was in town, and I had some friends come and pick me up. I had four friends that came and lifted me up and says, come on, we're going to Jesus. I want to testify this morning that we went to Jesus, but there were too many people in the house. There were so many people in the house, we couldn't get in. We couldn't even get near the front door. I want to testify this morning that we were not going to be denied. And so my friends carried me up the outside stairs to the rooftop. Believe it or not, can I testify this morning that they tore the roof open in that house? They tore the roof open. And they let me down into the presence of Jesus. I want to testify to you this morning that Jesus looked up and saw the faith of my four friends, and he looked at me and he healed me in Jesus' name. How many of you know he had a story to tell? Don't read these stories like they're so sterile. Don't read these stories like they're just stories. These are people's testimonies that God is sharing with us of the great things that Jesus did in the lives of others. And we have the same opportunity to share our testimony of being broken and God healing us to others. All these people, folks, their brokenness became part of their story. Your brokenness must become part of your story. Don't hide your brokenness. Let your brokenness bring glory to Him. How many times have we heard stories of addicts being delivered? How many times have we heard stories of others being healed of some issue in their lives? How many times have we heard stories of others? You know, I remember Francis, I think is his last name. He was a mobster in New York. He was like number two or number three in the mob. This guy was a horrific mobster for over a decade, like 15 years. This guy was, you didn't want to mess with this dude. He was a mobster that killed people. He was a mobster that ended up going to prison. But he was a mobster that met a woman who was a Christian. And influence came into his life. And while he was in prison, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He repented of his sins. And now he travels all over the country sharing his story. Sharing that he is now beautifully broken. Sharing his story of who he was, what God did in his life, and who he is now. You're able to share your story. Make it a part of your life. Folks, if you've been born again, you have a story to tell. If you've been saved, if he's forgiven you of your sins, you have a story to tell. Tell your neighbor, I got a story to tell you. We always say that in a different context, don't we? We always say that in a gossiping context. Boy, do I have a story to tell you. No, this isn't gossip. This is a testimony. I've got a story to tell you. Jesus saved my soul. You know my testimony. I got saved on a Sunday morning right here in this area. I went to school on Monday telling my friends, I got a story to tell you. I didn't know one verse of Scripture. I hadn't one verse memorized in my mind. I didn't know how to find anything in the Scripture, but I knew what Jesus did for me, and what he did for me became my story, and I started telling my story to my friends at school, and they started getting saved because of the story that I shared. You have a story. You're beautifully broken. Look at your neighbor and say, believe it or not, I'm beautiful. You are. You're beautiful because you're beautifully broken. You're beautifully broken because of what God has done for you. Now listen, every piece of pottery generally has some kind of a story. Has some kind of a story. In biblical days, pottery was practical. It was very practical. Today, there's a lot of pots and vases and things that are really meant for the shelves, for display. They're works of art. But when you look in biblical days, they were very practical. They were very useful. They each had a use and a specific use. And so it was very practical. But the pottery has a story to tell. That story is when it was made, where it was made, what it was made for, and what happened to it. How many of you know when you have a pottery, even a, you know, maybe you have a ceramic coffee cup or whatever, and it gets broken and it has a story to tell. It has a story to tell. Maybe you didn't throw it away. You try to glue it together, and every time it comes out, you say, oh, yeah, let me tell you what happened to that cup. Because now it's become part of the story, and now that story's become a part of you. That happened to me years ago when I was coming from Mesa and preaching here in Safford on weekends. And my dad had to go somewhere before church. And so he said, you want to go with me? I said, yeah, I'll go with you. Mom made me a cup of coffee. So I had this nice hot cup of coffee. And I got in the car with my dad. And we got maybe 100 yards from the house. And the cup separated from the handle. And I was baptized in coffee. But that cup had a story to tell. It had that story for me to share. Every vessel has a story. Every vessel has a story. Folks, the world and the church are filled with earthen vessels. People with broken hearts. People with broken spirits. People with broken relationships and broken lives and broken families, people with broken feelings, people that are broken. This world and even in the church, there are people who are broken. They're all around us, folks. They're damaged goods, what we call all around us. And sadly, folks, most people do their best to cover up their brokenness. They try to cover it up. and pretend it's not there, but then they live in the shards of brokenness. They live in the pieces of brokenness. And so what do? We try to present to people a false impression of our being whole, that everything's all right. Have any of you ever came to church hurting, but when people ask you how you doing, you're saying fine? You know, you're hurting. There's something going on in your life. Something happened before you came to church, and yet when you get to church, you turn on the smile. You turn on the laughter. You turn on the joy, but it's only turned on because inside you're still hurting, but you're hiding what's broken inside of you. If there's any place that we ought to be real with each other, it's right in here. If there's any place that we need to be honest with each other and say, man, I'm hurting, would you pray for me? It's right in here. This is the place we ought to come in and say, I feel broken this morning, but would you pray for me that God can do something about my brokenness? Don't walk around with that mean look on your face all day. Let God do something with you. Let God heal you. Let God bring things into your life that will bring healing to you. Think about all the broken people. Let me give you a list of broken people in the Bible. Moses had a speech impediment. He had a speech impediment. Jonah was self-absorbed. He was self-absorbed, folks. God told him, I want you to go to Nineveh. But he was so self-absorbed, he was not going to go there because they were enemies of Israel. He was not going to go there. And the Bible says he went the exact opposite way because Tarshish was to the east. Nineveh was to the east. Tarshish was to the west. And he said, I'm going to get as far away from you, God, as I can. And he intended to go to Tarshish. Now, you have to understand, Tarshish was the farthest known location to the west. It was the farthest known location at the time, about 2,200 miles from where he was supposed to go. You know, people think, well, he just left for the next town. No, he tried to get as far away from God as possible and as far away from God's will and purpose as possible. How many of you know you can't outrun God? How many of you know you can't hide from him? You see, that was Jonah. He was self-absorbed to do his own thing. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman had a slew of divorces. Zacchaeus was an extortioner. Peter was hot-headed, impulsive, and temperamental. Aren't you glad there's not anybody like that in church anymore? That was Peter. Naomi was a bitter woman. Elijah was suicidal. Leah wasn't attractive enough. Joseph was abused and abandoned. Jacob was a liar and a schemer. Martha worried about everything, and Noah got drunk. This is a list of some of the people that are in your Bible that you're supposed to be reading about. Isn't that amazing? These are the people that are broken that we read about. But listen, folks, here's what I want you to hear. None of these things defined these people. They did not define them. And we need to understand that your brokenness is a testimony, but it doesn't define you for the rest of your life. Because God wants to do something with it. You see, these were part of their stories, and their stories give us hope and inspiration. We can see David committing adultery and then committing murder. But we also read David's repentance in Psalm 51, and it gives us hope and encouragement ourselves. So we read their stories. These were part of their stories that gives us that hope. How many of you know Paul Harvey when he says, and now the rest of the story, when he used to say that, how many of you know he got that from God in the Bible? Because God always gave us the rest of the story. God always told us what happened in people's lives. That's incredible, folks. These people are defined by their relationship with God and their purpose fulfilled. They were not defined solely by their cracks and their brokenness. It was part of their story, but it wasn't the full dimension of their story. Don't let brokenness in your life be the only part of your story. God wants to do something with that brokenness. You see, the beauty of the Bible, the thing I love about the Bible is it doesn't hide people's weaknesses. It doesn't hide people's faults, their failures, or their sins. The Bible doesn't hide these things as it describes their victories, because we can read of their victories too. And that's a powerful thing about the Bible. So let me give you this list that I just gave you, and let's finish the story. Let's be Paul Harvey this morning and give you the rest of the story. Because you can look at Moses, and he led the Israelites out of bondage. His story was not that he was a stutterer. That was a broken part of him in his life that God used in spite of him to do something marvelous. And so you see Moses as the one who led the Israelites out of bondage. Jonah led a massive revival in Nineveh. This self-absorbed person that God broke led a massive revival in the city of Nineveh. David wrote Psalm 51, and he was known as a man of God's own heart. You look at Samson, he killed more Philistines on the day of his death than all through his life. You see the rest of the story in their lives. Rahab is in Jesus' genealogy. Think about that, folks. Rahab, the harlot, is now in Jesus' genealogy. Can God do something with our brokenness? Can God do something with your brokenness? You better believe he can. That's incredible. The Samaritan woman became an evangelist to her community. Zacchaeus had dinner with Jesus intentionally because Jesus said, hey, come down. I got to go to your house and have dinner with you. Peter led the church in Jerusalem, and he preached on the day of Pentecost with 3,000 people being saved. Think about that. That's incredible. Naomi helped shape Jesus' lineage with Ruth, her daughter-in-law. But she was used by God. Elijah was a great prophet of God till his departure. Joseph kept his family and God's plan alive. Jacob wrestled with God and became Israel. Martha knew Jesus personally and served him often. And Noah built the ark previously to his drunkenness, but he also preserved life. God uses broken people. God uses broken people. Here's another thing, folks. Brokenness does not mean uselessness. Brokenness does not mean uselessness. If you're broken this morning, you have been broken, that means you are more useful. That means God can use you in a greater measure. You see, brokenness, if God is allowed to work in it and with it, and that's the condition, folks, that you have to allow God to work in and with your brokenness. But if you invite God into your brokenness, then it really means things like new usefulness and an increased value and a redesigned purpose for your life. That's what he intends for you. Because God uses everything in our lives. How many of you know that? God will use everything in our lives for his purpose. That includes our brokenness, our pain, our failures, our weaknesses, our fractured relationships. God will use our shattered dreams, our disappointments, and our cracked up personalities. He'll use it all for his glory. And he does it, folks, to shape an incredible story of redemption in us. The brokenness that you've gone through shapes a story of redemption in your life. That you can say, this is what God did in my brokenness. This is what God did in my hopelessness. He brought hope and he changed my life. Can anybody here this morning say, he changed my life? That's what brokenness does. God uses it to change our lives. Romans 8:28, you know that scripture. We know that all things work together for good, right? To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, we know that all things, somebody say all things. All things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now see, folks, it might not seem that way a lot of times. How many of you know that? It might not seem like God is working for your good. It might seem like the thing you're going through, the experience you're going through, what's happening in your family, what's happening in your marriage, what's happening in your children, what's happening at work, what's happening around you, it doesn't seem like anything good is going to come out of it. But it's only seemingly that way. And a lot of times we wonder what good could come out of it anyway. But the next verse gives us the answer, because in Romans 8:29 it says this, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now you got to chew on that, folks. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's powerful language. God foreknew you. God predestined you. And God is conforming you. God is changing you. Are any of you being changed? Is there change going on in your life? You see, that's what he's saying here. Two of these are past. He foreknew you and he predestined you. The third one is in the present perfect. You're being conformed into the image of Christ. How many of you are more like Jesus this year than you were last year? I know we're only into February. You haven't had much time. But you ought to be different today. You ought to be changed more into the likeness of Jesus. If you're a true follower of Jesus, you will become more like the one you're following. You will become more like the one you're following. And that's what he intends for us, folks. That's what he intends, to become like his son. So don't ever say you don't know your destiny. He goes, I don't know what God has created. I don't know my destiny. You know your destiny. It's to be conformed into the image of his dear son. It's to become more like Jesus every single day. That's part of your destiny, folks, to become like the one who saved you. Your destiny is to be conformed into his image. That means, folks, you cannot stay the way you were before your salvation. You cannot stay the same. If you've truly been born again and he's begun the work inside of you, then there will be change taking place in your life. God will be doing that work inside of you. God will break you to remake you. How many of you know that? Turn to your neighbor and say, God will break you to remake you. That's what he has to do. He has to break us so he can remake us. God broke Peter to expose his pride and his self-determination so that he could use him. God broke Saul, a man who was going out and attacking the church and arresting Christians. God broke Saul on the way to Damascus, on the Damascus road. He broke him, and he became Paul, the greatest apostle who wrote most of the New Testament. God breaks us so he can remake us. When God allows breaking to come into your life, when you think you understand it or not, doesn't matter. That breaking is really a reshaping of who you are. God is reshaping you. It's really the broken places of your life, folks, that God beautifies and he accentuates for his glory. God makes the broken places in your life stand out. That's kintsugi. It makes the broken places of your life stand out. How many of you don't want your brokenness to stand out? That's the last thing we want. Our humanity says, no, no, no. God is saying, yes, yes, yes. Let me use it. Let me glorify my name through that. And so God accentuates it. He embellishes it. He makes it stand out so that you have a greater testimony. That's what it's all about, folks. Kintsugi is a Japanese word that means either golden mend or golden repair or golden rejoining. It's an incredible process that they began a long time before Christ. It was a long time. But they did this process to restore and repair broken vases. I want to give you some pictures of what kintsugi is. Here's a picture of kintsugi. This bowl was broken. And so everywhere you see the golden lines is a place where it was broken and put back together. Now, let me ask you, does that look beautiful? That's a beautiful piece of pottery now. It's beautiful. Let's go to the next one. Here's another one looking from the top. Fallen to the floor, whatever happened, but they gathered all, see, they didn't lose any pieces. They gathered all the pieces back together, and then they put them back together with an embellishment, with a beautifying process. Now, I want to show you the next one because it's really, I love this one. Look at this. That's a broken face, a broken life. That's a person who just went through divorce. That's a person who has been addicted to drugs. That's a person who's broken over their child, that's left home and they haven't heard from them. That's a broken person. And there's brokenness in that person's life. But look what it can become. Put back together. And every broken piece is now put back with an embellishment. With God saying, this is what I have done in you. I can put you back together. I can give you hope. I can give you promise again. I can give you a future if you allow me to put you back together. And that's what kintsugi does. That Japanese process of kintsugi is getting broken pieces and putting them back together. How many of you know our culture is a throwaway culture? Whether we're talking about broken pottery or dishes, or whether we're talking about the homeless or the loner in a school, whether we're talking about the sick or the elderly, whether we're talking about an unwanted, unborn baby, whatever we're talking about, we live in what we call a throwaway culture. But listen, Kintsugi can teach us some things, because Kintsugi picks up all the broken pieces, reassembles them, and then puts them back together to make them, listen, stand out as marks of beauty. As marks of beauty. God wants to take the brokenness of your lives, the pieces that are still on the floor. He's saying, let me pick them up and let me put them back together. Let me put it back together my way so that it can bring me glory. That's the neat thing about Kintsugi, is it shows out the actual brokenness. They're put back together. And with Kintsugi, they use an epoxy. And they will use either gold, silver, or platinum dust. They grind down the gold, silver, or platinum, and they mix it into the lacquer, or else they will paint it on the surface of every crack to make sure it stands out and it looks like those pieces of beauty. That's what Kintsugi does. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, right? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He is the workman. He is the craftsman. He's the craftsman that takes our brokenness, that takes the brokenness of a lost person and puts us back together. But when he does, we have a testimony. We have a testimony. And the neat thing about Kintsugi is, when you look at it, you know that there had to be an artisan. There had to be a craftsperson that put it back together. When I was watching videos of it, I saw a master craftsman that was at his table that was teaching about five others how to put these back together, and how painstaking it was, and how detailed it was, and how carefully put together they were performing the art. It was so detailed. It was exact. It must be in the exact right location, in the right place, and it had to be put together in just the right way and in just the right amount of epoxy or lacquer that was mixed in with a gold, silver, or platinum. But when it was done, you know what the neat thing about Kintsugi is? Before a bowl is broken, it might be worth $20, $30. But after it's repaired with Kintsugi, it can be now worth $300 or $400. You see, when something broken is put together with Kintsugi, it becomes more valuable. Can I tell you that when God repairs your brokenness, you become more valuable? Don't think the other way around. Don't think, well, I'm less valuable to God because I was broken. No, because you're broken, you're more valuable. Because of your brokenness, you're more valuable to him. You're more valuable to the kingdom. You're more valuable in this life. That's what it does. That's what Kintsugi does. That's what God does in our lives. He takes our brokenness, he picks them up, he puts us together, and he embellishes the brokenness so that we can bring him glory. Isn't that amazing? We are Kintsugi Christians. We are Kintsugi Christians. People that were broken, but that God put together. How many of you have been put together? Come on, how many of you have been put together by him? How many of you are still being put together? You know, it's a process, isn't it? It's a process, but he's putting us together. And once we were all over the floor in shattered dreams and hopes, but now we're seeing it built back up. He's building us back up. That's what we're talking about this morning. God wants to take your brokenness, and he says, if you'll give it to me, I'll put you together, and I'll make your brokenness a part of your story. I'll make your story. That's what Kintsugi does. It makes a story. And that's what God does in our lives. He says, I'll make the story of your life. Would you stand with me? I love the prophetic word, and it's the same word that Jesus read in the New Testament when he was handed the scroll of Isaiah. And he looked for it until he found the verse. And he said, today this is fulfilled in your sight. Jesus came to mend our brokenness. The brokenness that originally all came from the garden. When the prototypes were broken. And it created a brokenness throughout humanity. By one man's sin, sin entered into the world and death by sin. But the Bible says also by one man, Jesus Christ. I want you to know that's our hope. Jesus is our hope. Jesus wants to heal your brokenness. Some of you are still carrying around the pieces. God is saying, let go of them. Give them to me so I can put them back together and I can show you how beautiful it can be. Your brokenness. That's why we call this message beautifully broken. Beautifully broken. Maybe there's somebody here that you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The first thing he wants to fix in your life is the issue of sin. First thing he wants to do is come into your life and save your soul. To deliver you, to save your soul, to forgive you of your sins, and to make you a child of God. That's the greatest thing that we could ever experience in life, is the salvation that he's provided for us, because Jesus came into this world to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. But he also rose again the third day to give us hope. And I want you to know, we who know Jesus Christ have hope today. How many of you have hope today? Don't look at problems or situations or broken things. Look at the hope that he's given us. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, I want you to know he can put you back together. He can save you. He can forgive you of your sins. He can make you a child of God. If that's you this morning and you have not received the forgiveness of your sins, you've not come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but this morning you know you need to, would you just raise your hand? If there's anyone here this morning, just raise your hand and say, I need to know this morning. I need to know this morning that I'm saved. I need to know that my sins are forgiven. You see, that's what God does. He'll take that brokenness and he'll heal you. He'll put you back together. He'll do it. Is there anyone here? We want you to know this morning. We want you to know this morning. We want you to know. I know we prayed with you, but I'm going to ask my wife to come over and just talk to you a little bit, okay? Because we're going to make sure that you know that you've truly done this, okay? I tell you, we love you. We love you this morning. And we're glad that you're concerned about it. We are. Now, I want to ask real quickly, if there's anyone here that feels like there's brokenness in your life that you've not really turned over to God, but this morning you want to say, God, I want to give you my brokenness so you can do something with it. I want you to know he'll take those pieces and make it your testimony. If that's you, come to this altar as we close this service. And let's just bring God whatever brokenness still remains in our lives. Let's bring to him whatever remains in our lives that is just not yet repaired. And he's saying, I want you to bring it before me. Don't hide it. Don't try to embellish it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to pretend that you're whole when you're not. If that's you this morning, come on. Just come on. And let's just bring it. Let's just bring it to him. Say, God, heal my brokenness. I bring my brokenness to you. The powerful thing about kintsugi is once a pot is broken, once a vessel is broken, the pieces have to be brought to the craftsman. The pieces have to be brought to him so he could do something with it. God wants to do something with your brokenness this morning. God wants to give that to you back as a part of your testimony. It's going to be part of your testimony. You're going to be able to say, with all the others I just shared about, with blind Bartimaeus, you're going to be able to say, let me share what God has done in my life. Like the leper, like the paralytic, like all those that have their testimony because of their brokenness and what Jesus did in their lives, you're going to have the same thing. And your brokenness is going to turn into a testimony. It's going to be your story. It's going to be your story that you won't be afraid or ashamed to share, because it's not what happened or what did happen. It's what Jesus has done. That's what makes it beautiful. I want you just right now at this altar, just in your own way, just tell God what you're here about. Tell him what this brokenness is that you're bringing before him right now. Be specific. Be honest with God, and just in your heart. You can say it out loud or you can say it in your heart, but just say, God, this is what I'm bringing to you right now. This is what is still broken inside of me. This is what I have not brought to you. This is what is not yet healed. And Father, I bring you this brokenness. I bring it to you because you are the master artisan, the one who can put me back together, and you can build a testimony in me, a story in me out of the brokenness that I bring to you. Just talk to him about it. Bring it before him. Lay it at his feet. Let him do inside of you what only he can do. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for each person that's at this altar right now. God, I pray for them. And everyone else in this room, Father, that maybe they didn't come, but yet they're dealing with something right where they're standing. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to us about the broken areas of our lives. And help us to be like blind Bartimaeus. Help us to be one that cries out to you so that you can take our broken pieces and you can put them back together and you can embellish them and make them a story that we can share. So I pray, Father, for every broken person here. I pray, God, for every broken issue in their lives. I pray, God, whatever that issue is, I pray, God, that you would heal. I pray that you would forgive. I pray that you would restore. I pray, Father, right now that you would do a work inside of each one of them. That, Father, they would receive the healing process, Father, that you want to bring them right now. And I pray right now, Father, they would begin to experience the healing balm, that healing balm, that restoring balm, that healing touch, Father, that changes and transforms lives. I pray right now, Father, that they begin to release it to you and you begin to put the pieces back together and you take the gold, you take the silver, you take the platinum, and Father, would you embellish those areas in their lives? As they're put back together, Father, I pray that they would declare it as a testimony, as a story of what God has done in each one of their lives. So I pray right now, Father, in Jesus' name, healing and restoration. I pray healing, God. I pray, Father, that they'd be released, Father, from any accusations of the enemy. I pray they'd be released, Father, from any thoughts and memories that they have. I pray that they will no longer, Father, have any hold on them. That they will not look backwards anymore with feelings of failure and discouragement. I pray, God, that they will look forward and they will see what you have done in their lives and they can use it for your glory. So, Father, I release them into your hands this morning. I pray, God, healing right now. I pray once and for all, God, once and for all, today, right now, at this altar, God, I pray that the pieces are picked up and they're put back together by your grace and your mercy, by your power right now, Father. They will not look back anymore. They will not look back in failure or discouragement. They will not take up those things again. But, Father, I pray from this day forward, it becomes a testimony in their lives. Father, would you do it inside of them? Do it inside of them right now, God. Touch them. Release them, Father, from those things. God, let them be a masterpiece. Let them be that masterpiece, the workmanship revealed through them of what you're doing inside of them. Father, we release it right now. We release it right now. We release it right now. Let it go now. Just let it go. Just say, God, I'm letting it go. God, I'm letting it go so you can deal with it, so you can put it back together. He breaks you to remake you. He breaks you to remake you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Father, I pray you bless not just these here at the altar, but every single one in this house. Help us to remember, Father, that brokenness is not the end of the story. Brokenness is just part of the story. It's part of the story, God, because you take that brokenness and you use it for your glory. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. We ask, Father, that as we dismiss now from the service, that you would bless every single individual, young and old. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace towards us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, give the Lord some praise this morning. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. Have a great day in Jesus' name. And now it's time to go to work.